Now, we've already dealt with a considerable number of the words and phrases found in the scriptures that deal with the rapture of the church to heaven before Christ comes to earth to reign. He's going to recall his ambassadors, and in the record of this, or the prediction of it, we find such wonderful words and phrases to take our time and consider. The word behold immediately implies that this is something striking, something important, something significant. Then I tell you a secret, and we believers shall not all sleep, we won't all die, but we shall all be changed. And what a change! Each one of these is already a sermon in itself. Then the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh, says somebody, I thought there was a general resurrection at the end. Oh no, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that's how suddenly this will take place, someday, who knows how soon. Then that phrase, death is swallowed up in victory. We discussed that last week. And now this week we want to discuss the words, if we believe, if we believe. Now these are some of the, quote, rapture words and phrases, unquote, that we've been discussing. Now, concerning the words, if we believe, they're taken from 1 Thessalonians 4:14. Where we read, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, he doesn't mean bring the soul with him. Oh, no. He says, if Jesus died and rose again, even so them that sleep in Jesus will God bring, that is, from the death with him, or from the dead with him. As we read in Hebrews 13, verse 20, the benediction concerning God who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how important then it is to see that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. The resurrection of Christ is one of the basic doctrines of salvation, beloved. And it involves the spirit, the soul, and the body. For example, in Romans 4, verses 23, 24, 25, listen, he says, the faith was imputed by God to Abraham. Faith was imputed for righteousness. Faith was imputed to him for righteousness. God said to Abraham, your seed is going to be numbered like the stars of the heavens and like the sand by the seashore. And Abram believed it. And God said, that man believes me. And he imputed his faith for righteousness. He said, that man will be saved. He's justified because he believes what I've said. Now, then the next two verses tell us that it's not been written for his sake alone, that is to give some glory to him, that his faith was imputed to him for righteousness, but for us also, to whom righteousness will be imputed if we believe. There are those three words, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. There you have it. It's for us also. Justice, righteousness will be imputed to us. We'll be justified if we believe on him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. You have it in Romans 10, 9 and 10. Though the words if and believe are just a few words apart, listen. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So salvation depends largely upon our believing in a living Savior, the one who died for us at Calvary but was raised again from the dead. Now that's a spiritual matter. Salvation, of course, is basically a spiritual matter. But now, the soul also is involved. I've said that the soul is the experience part of man's makeup. That's what it is, according to Scripture. Now is my soul exceeding sad. And the psalmist says, now my soul is glad. The soul feels and experiences. That's the inner part of the inner man who experiences. Now then, in Colossians 3, 1 and 2, the apostle says, if ye then be risen with Christ. Of course, that is a challenge. In other words, if you really believe that you've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Remember in Ephesians 1:3, we read that believers have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. And how many Christians renew their the affections again to the glitter of this world's goods and this world's things and this world's events? Ah, beloved, if you believe that we've been given life and raised up together and seated in heavenly places in Christ, then seek those things which are above. Seek those all spiritual blessings. All right? There then is where the soul, the experience part, the enjoyment part of man's makeup is concerned. And then in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, the passage we are now considering, it concerns the body. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, think what it took to sink the Lord Jesus Christ into death in the grave. Beloved, it was not merely one man dying. Oh, no. Upon him was placed all the sins of all the world, the penalty for every sin that you and I and every man have ever committed, the guilt and the shame and the penalty were placed upon him. So it was a great event when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Well, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, then it surely will not be hard to believe that he's going to raise us up by his power. Oh, Paul has so much to say about that. And of those who question resurrection and say, oh, by a half a dozen sciences, the resurrection of a dead body is impossible. And Paul says, you fool. Look around you. You can multiply all your objections, but look about you. Don't be blind. Resurrection is in operation all about us. That tree, that lily of the field, that little grain. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, except a kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. The truth of the revelation is not only scriptural, it is sensible if we really stop to think things through. Now, a much misunderstood passage of Scripture is the latter part of 1 Thessalonians 4:14, where he says, the first part is, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, it is commonly supposed, as I've just hinted, that this means that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes from heaven, will bring with him from heaven the souls of the sleeping saints. But nowhere, please listen carefully, write it down. If you have any objection, and I don't know where you could find one, by all means write us about it. Nowhere in Scripture do we find anything about soul sleep. It is always body sleep. The body, when it dies, is said to be asleep because generally when at the burial service, the body is in a prostrate position and it is likened to sleep. but it is only the body that is said to sleep, as an illustration, of course. Daniel 12:2 says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust shall awake." Now, that's not the soul or the spirit. And in many other places, well, John 11:11, he says, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I'm going to go and wake him out of sleep." And what did he do? He raised Lazarus bodily from the dead. And, there are many passages, but you do the searching if you doubt it. The Bible nowhere speaks of soul sleep, and don't believe those who preach soul sleep or the unconsciousness of the soul between death and resurrection. Now, the words, "if we believe, and even so," are important to the understanding of this passage. Let me read it again. I want to get this clearly in your mind, because so many people don't have this straight. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again. What died? Well, his body died. That is, his body at least went to the grave. The spirit and the soul left the body, and the body died. Now, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. It was bodily that he rose from the dead, if you believe the scriptures. Now then, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them which sleep in Jesus bodily will God bring with him. Well, people say, why does it say that God's going to bring them with him if he's not talking about the soul or the spirit? He's not dead, no. God will bring the dead in Christ from the dead with him, you see. We have it, as I've said, in Hebrews 3:20. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, Paul says here, if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even those that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. I should have said even so. Even in the same way, those who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And 1 Corinthians 15 is a chapter that is full of this. Read it. It is a very enlightening chapter as to the believer's death and resurrection. Certainly, he's not talking here about the Lord Jesus Christ bringing souls with him from heaven, but about God bringing sleeping saints from the dead in Christ, or even as he brought Christ from the dead. Thus Paul's lovely benediction that I've just quoted, "The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, make you perfect in everything to do his will." Ah, it's wonderful, the peace that comes from believing in a risen Christ. As Paul said when he was on that, in those terrible circumstances, "I believe in God who raises the dead." And Paul was by no means a temperamental person who quickly envisioned things or thought that things could be so that can't. No, no. He was one of the most learned men of his day, perhaps the most learned of all. And he certainly shows it in his writings. The meaning now of this little phrase, "if we believe," becomes clear. If we believe that God brought Christ from the dead, it will not be hard to believe in our own resurrection. We won't have to be like the poor woman that leaned over the casket of her loved one when he had died and said, "Oh dear, I'll never see you again. Never, never. I'll never see you." She wailed. I felt so badly for her. But that must be the solution or the answer to those who don't believe in the power of God to raise the dead. But thank God we believe, like Paul, in God who raises the dead. It's never been, since I've come to know him and to know something of his word, it has never been a problem to me that my body must die and go into corruption. For I believe in God who raises the dead. And if he could, by a miracle, produce mankind, is it any more of a miracle when that body goes into corruption? They say, "Oh, that's just natural." Natural? What do you mean natural? Just nature can't cause something to go into corruption. You put it there on the windowsill or on a board, put a tomato or an apple there, and soon it will go into corruption. Ah, but it's the forces that God has put into power, that God has created, that bring that thing into corruption, that bring on the gnats and the other little creatures that bring it to corruption, you see. And then, if that's true, then it surely is no greater miracle for God to raise the dead, whatever has happened to them. He will bring again together those forces that have disintegrated. Well, there it is, if we believe. Do you believe, my friend, in the resurrection of the dead, and particularly of the believing dead, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes for his own? Oh, thank God, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even those which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So that the dead really lose nothing, because the Lord hasn't come in their lifetime. They'll be raised too. We're going to deal with that next. The dead in Christ shall rise first, next week, God willing. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, we have some wonderful things to talk about here yet, and wonderful truths they are. So I hope you'll be sure to listen in next week. Do something to remind yourself of next week's broadcast and tell others about it. We do so want to see the lost saved and the saved come to know Christ too.